everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you all, fired up and ready to get into the hour here. A lot to talk about, as usual. Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. Tom, today is April 15th, 2020, and normally we'd be saying, get those taxes in, get them postmarked before midnight, but we have been given, at the federal and the state level, a 30-day extension.
Some places apparently are still going, some states are still going by the April 15th rule.
Are they really?
Which is kind of discouraging.
Kind of playing hardball, huh?
I guess.
Yeah, and today also marks the first time in recent memory where the high temperature is expected to be the normal high for the date. That's 82 degrees. I mean, we've been pushing 10 degrees and more above that for a long time. It seems like once this settled in last year, we didn't get the monsoon. We have certainly been above normal. We need rain, something fierce here. Looking at the Buckmaster property, some of these cactus, Tom, are not going to make it if we don't get any rain until late June.
Well, I only have this little silver lining to this otherwise dark cloud. It may not even break 80 tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Maybe only about 79. That's the prediction.
All right. I'd like to hear that very much. The 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our home radio station is 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The call letters here are KVOI, the voice. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, which is buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, let's go now on the live line and our conversation with Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, representing Supervisorial District Number 1. He is a Democrat, the first Democrat to hold that District 1 seat in many, many decades. I want to say 1970, which would be 50 years, but I could be wrong about that. But it's been a long time.
You were just off by 2 years, Bill.
Oh, there you go, 1972. Ron Asta, was he the last one, do you recall?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go. I win the Jeopardy question of the day. Supervisor Scott, how are you today? How's your day going so far?
Bill, it is going really well, and I truly appreciate another opportunity to spend time with you and Tom and your listeners.
Well, thank you very much. We're trying to schedule you now every month. Perhaps you heard my conversation with Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham yesterday talking about this differential water rate increase. Living in the central foothills in District 1, I'm concerned. My neighbors are concerned. I asked the councilman if this goes through, what kind of money am I going to have to budget here? And he seemed to be talking in the range of a 5%. But from what I gathered, and I want to hear your impression, it sounds like after this 40-year arrangement, he's saying, and the city is saying, it's time for us in the unincorporated area, in unincorporated areas, to pay our fair share. What did you take away from Paul's conversation?
Well, it was the second time that I've heard Councilmember Cunningham use that 5% figure. I was on Zach Yenser's show last week with Councilmember Cunningham, and he said the same thing. But it's important for all the affected ratepayers to remember that when Councilmember Cunningham made the motion to approve the notice of intent for differential water rates, he, in that motion, said that he wanted the rate to be considered as high as 50% because he wanted to have leverage, whatever he wants that leverage for. So I think it's all well and good to say what he did on the radio twice now, but it's important for people to check the record and look at the actual verbiage of the measure that his colleagues and he passed.
What do you make of this? Some would call it a money grab. Why now, after 40 years? The Board of Supervisors, two of your colleagues joined you. The vote was 3-2 in opposing this. But what's your take on why this is happening now?
Well, I think you need to take people at their word. And what you've heard primarily from not just Paul Cunningham, but several of his colleagues, is that they see this as a means of inducing either annexation or incorporation. And to me, that's just an absolutely irrational argument. I am going to support efforts for annexation by existing municipalities or incorporation by people who want that for their area, if that's what they want for their area. But you don't get something positive by engaging in this level of financial coercion. Moreover, if you look at the history, back in 1978, when the city of Tucson was applying to the Central Arizona Project for its allocation of CAP water, it established a service area that goes as far north as the village of Catalina and as far south as Corona de Tucson. It incorporates, Bill, in other words, 78% of unincorporated Pima County. And as a result of putting together that service area, the city of Tucson gets a CAP allocation that is roughly 80% of the residential and industrial CAP allocation for our region. And so for them to establish a service area that includes a great deal of unincorporated Pima County, and then 40 years after the fact, more than 40 years after the fact, to ask people in unincorporated Pima County only, bear in mind that there are people who live in other jurisdictions who are also Tucson water customers, but they're not affected by this. It's only people in unincorporated Pima County who will be. It's just completely unjust. And then I heard Councilmember Cunningham say that there are impacts on the city's general fund separate from the cost to the water utility. And remember that the water utility has said there is no cost-based rationale for these higher rates. That's in the documents that they have sent to the mayor and council. No cost-based rationale for these higher rates, according to the utility. Councilmember Cunningham said that there are costs to the general fund when there are repairs to the water system that need to be made outside of the incorporated area. However, the biggest source of revenue for the city's general fund is the sales tax. And over a third of sales tax revenues generated within the city of Tucson limits are paid by residents of unincorporated Pima County. So it's unjust, it's inequitable, it flies in the face of past practice. And having said that, Bill, there's been a term that has been used on your show a couple of times and on some other shows called water wars. Mm-hmm. I really hope that people will stop using that term. It's hyperbolic. It's incendiary. And we've got more in common with the city with regard to all matter of policies, including water policy. And I just think that kind of language is not helpful. This is a divisive and unfortunate move. But one thing that I'm never, ever going to support is any kind of tit for tat. We've already gotten some calls into our office saying, well, why don't you just jack up sewer rates for people who live in the city? That's nothing I would ever support. It would be hypocritical. One of the criticisms of this proposal that I have made is that it flies in the face of the cost of service model that utilities are supposed to follow, only charging rates that that pay for the actual cost of running the utility. If we were to do something like that with sewer rates, it would be just as unfortunate an action for those ratepayers as what we see this proposal being.
All right. I don't want to hold Wayne. Our caller Wayne is on the line. I don't want to hold him through the break, so let's take his call. Wayne,
sure.
You're with Rex Scott. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Rex. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
This just brings back memories of, I think, in the 70s when they wanted to have a pumping fee for the foothills residents. It was a proposal by the city council, mayor and council. And, boy, that just upset everything. And I think some council members lost their seat over that issue. Do you remember that, Rex?
Well, Wayne, I wasn't living here then. I moved to Pima County in 1991, but I'm certainly aware of the history. One of the things that got brought up during that debate was what are known as lift fees, which is the cost to deliver water to higher elevations. And one of the documents that I looked at with regard to this proposal indicated that there are a lot of areas within the city that are at elevations just as high as some of the elevations in unincorporated Pima County. So this would really set not only unfair, inequitable rates for people outside the city limits, but it would also perhaps set a precedent that I don't think the water utility wants to follow in terms of dealing with ratepayers at certain elevations.
Well, it's certainly appropriate that our guest tomorrow on our Friday Focus interview is Tim Tomure, who is the head of Tucson Water. He also now wears an additional hat as being Mike Ortega's assistant at the city. So that should be very interesting tomorrow. But right now we'll pause in our interview with Supervisor Scott. We're going to talk a little bit about Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. My colleague here, Tom Fairbanks, has referred to it as a light and tasty multi-layered pastry. And I think that is very appropriate. They are open right now for lunch. The northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. And boy, do they do a great breakfast. Love their scrambled eggs and hash browns. And then, of course, they do all of the breads that are available. They've got a wide variety of beautifully baked breads. And I always like a couple of slices of the sourdough, and then have them butter it very fresh, right out of the toaster. The bread's fresh anyway, and then to put the butter on there. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful breakfast! And don't forget the ketchup that I love on my hash browns, and it gets into the eggs too. That's okay. Kind of mix it all up, and I'm ready to go. Anyway. MonasDanishBakery.com is the website. We'll be right back. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios on this Thursday afternoon.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, Every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Sounds like a little flamenco guitar there, a little bump music to get us into segment number two, which is presented by Green Things. Now in their 51st year, over at 3384 East River Road. What a beautiful area they are located. That 13 acres, amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. And then the great combination that they have with Zocalo Village, featuring some outstanding Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, handmade furniture, lighting, all sorts of beautiful things. So the websites, here they are, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Looked at zocalovillage.com the other day, and they have some really beautiful hand-carved mesquite, like dining room tables and chairs. Some of them are done right here in Tucson, so there's some really beautiful things there on the website. All right, we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. With us on the live line, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott, the first Democrat to represent District 1 since 1972. Also, we have a caller who would like to ask Supervisor Scott a question, and it's Greg. Hello, Greg.
Bill, thank you. May I call you Rex, Mr. Scott?
Absolutely, Greg. Please do.
So refreshing to hear your explanation in a reasoned manner, you know, about the situation with water. I'm calling because we have a problem downtown at the public defender, the Pima County Public Defender's Office. Over the years, I've assisted folks who were told by their court-appointed lawyer there to just take the state's plea offer. You'll only do 7 or 8 years in jail, in prison. And I was able to turn that around so that if they didn't hurt anybody, generally victimless crimes, they got probation. So I saved the taxpayers tons of money, but more importantly, saved these folks who need drug treatment generally from going to prison. Now, my experience with Mr. Feinman is he's out there publicizing himself possibly for higher office. So he's really not doing anything about the problem, and possibly it's funding. So I guess that's where your teammates there at the supervisor would come in. But can we do something that other states are doing so that these good people, many of them fresh out of law school, are not overloaded with 50 clients at one time?
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Greg. Go ahead, Supervisor.
Greg, I appreciate the question. You're raising a topic that I honestly don't know much about, and I learned in my career as an educator that if you don't know much about a topic, you should try and learn as much about it as you can. I'd certainly welcome you to contact our office, and I'd be happy to talk with you in greater detail and follow up in any way that we are able.
Should he just send an email? Would that be appropriate?
That would be, yes, thank you, Bill. That would be fine. And the email address is district1@pima.gov.
All right. I want to switch gears over to COVID. There are now some benchmarks that the board, the county health department has set. One of the two benchmarks has to do with getting, I believe it's the adult population, 75% of the adult population in Pima County fully vaccinated before the mask mandate would be dropped. Do you think that is doable in light of this vaccine hesitancy, and it's not being helped by the current pause with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine product? Some of your thoughts, please.
We have made a priority, Bill, since the beginning of the vaccine rollout, of targeting the segments of our population that are most at risk of either being seriously ill or dying if they're infected by the virus. And those are, of course, people in our senior citizen community. And we have made huge strides in getting people 75 and above, 65 and above vaccinated. Not only people who are still living independently, but also the many people in our community who live in long-term care assisted living facilities. So I think we'll very easily be able to meet that benchmark. And Johnson & Johnson, as my understanding is that Johnson & Johnson is not often recommended for people in those older age groups, and it wasn't really widely rolled out until we were already well underway with those older populations. So I think we're going to be okay as far as that goes. It's important to point out, however, that the Centers for Disease Control has said that even fully vaccinated people should continue to wear masks when they are out in public. The president has asked all states to keep mask laws in effect, and we were pleased that the Arizona Attorney General recently ruled that our local mask ordinance remains in effect despite the governor's attempt to upend it.
Yeah, Johnson & Johnson was not a primary product here in this market. It's been the Pfizer and the Moderna, the two shots. Now, I think you make a very good point. I don't think the J&J was recommended for those over 65. I think because you get a better coverage with the two shots for the older people, especially, I think it's at least 90% to 94 or 5% effective, the Pfizer and the Moderna. So that's a good point.
Definitely. And the vaccine hesitancy that we are dealing with is more likely to be demonstrated by people in younger to middle ages. And we're always going to work through any means possible to impress upon everybody the importance of becoming vaccinated. My wife and I are the parents of 26-year-old twins. They certainly are not at risk for the disease as much as their older counterparts are, but I'm proud to say that both of them are getting their vaccines. Our daughter's fully vaccinated, and our son gets his second shot at the beginning of May.
Yeah, your twins, I understand, it's an easy one for you to remember their birthday. I believe St. Patrick's Day. So you
that's right.
You chose a,
that's right.
Not that you could probably choose the exact date, but
well, actually, we did, Bill, because their due date was March 16th, and the OBGYN said, if you go even one day past your due date, I'm going to induce you the next day. And those kids were not ready to come out on March 16th, so you might say they did choose St. Patrick's Day.
Well, I chose Cinco de Mayo for my wedding anniversary, so it's always been a day of celebration and very easy to remember. I've only got about a minute or so. We are making some progress, aren't we? There's some more money coming into the road program.
Definitely. Yes, I was really pleased that my colleagues approved the measure that I put on the board's agenda last week to infuse an additional $50 million into our road repair program for next year. That's going to allow us to approach an additional 130 miles above and beyond what was already planned. So we're always going to look at ways to accelerate that program, and I was really pleased that we were able to do that at the last meeting.
Are the meetings still virtual then right now?
They are, and I'm really hopeful that very soon we are able to resume meeting live. I've never participated in a live meeting. Neither have Supervisors Grijalva and Hines. And it would be great to see the inside of the boardroom and actually participate in a meeting in a live setting. And I'm very hopeful that we will be able to do that sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would be a big issue if everybody's fully vaxxed and people wearing masks, so I don't think it would be a problem. Rex Scott, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you in May. Thank you.
And, Bill, I will be there live in May. I got my second dose of the vaccine yesterday, so count on me being in your studio in May, my friend.
All right. Thank you very much. That's going to do our first half of the program. We thank Rex Scott for his participation. Coming up next, everybody wants to travel. I think a lot of people do anyway. Maybe not everybody. Ryan Hansen, I know, does, and we're going to talk travel with Ryan in our Travel Talk segment. That's going to be coming up right after the break.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals.
They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. A lot of people want to talk travel. I'm always ready to talk travel, and I know our friend Ryan Hansen is as well. Ryan, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976, with experts who are ready right now to create your trip of a lifetime. Three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com, the first stop in making your travel dreams come true. Ryan, how are you?
Doing good, Brill. How's everything going with you?
Doing real well, and along with being a well-known travel executive, of course, you're also have been doing commentary, co-hosting with Brian Jeffries on the radio for the Wildcat basketball. I know you're excited about the new coach. In fact, you're going to meet him very shortly.
I actually am very excited, and I'm headed to the press conference where he'll be introduced publicly. I've already had a chance to meet him this morning. I was on and actually was the host of the opportunity for Coach Lloyd to meet with former players. We were on a Zoom call with Tommy this morning at 9 o'clock. We had about 50 former players on the Zoom call, an opportunity for us former managers and players to be able to interface with him and hear from him before he gets introduced to the public. And I think the public's going to like what they hear. It's a fresh start. Coach Lloyd has some great ideas, some great philosophy, I think, that will resonate with the community. It definitely resonated with the former players. He's an authentic guy. He's got a big challenge ahead, there's no doubt. Being a first-time head coach is one thing. You know, the NCAA cloud that's still kind of out there, that's another. And then just taking over a program of the magnitude of Arizona comes with weight and pressure. But I feel good about where we're headed and think that he's going to be well-received today as he gets introduced, as I mentioned, to the Tucson public this afternoon.
And Ryan, I know you feel good about what's ahead with travel, and I'm very curious to hear what went on last week with a multi-day virtual travel show. Of course, the Bon Voyage Travel Show went virtual this year. It's been such a popular show. I've been involved in a few of them over the years. How did it go last week, Ryan?
I tell you what, we had 36 supplier presentations, as we like to call it, highlighting destinations and cruises and land trips, and we had a tremendous turnout in regards to people joining in, and we've recorded all of those sessions, and those are available. If you missed it, you can watch any of those presentations and by going to our website, as Bill mentioned earlier, bvtravel.com. You can click on Showcase and watch any one of those 36 presentations. And it was engaging. We had clients and vacationers asking, where can I go now? Where should I go next year? I've never been on an expedition cruise. Why should I take that as my option for my first vacation coming out of COVID? There's definitely a light at the end. And when you step back even further, Bill, we're seeing some really good movement and conversations at the CDC level with the cruise lines specifically to start recognizing widespread distribution of vaccination is going to be a big key to unlocking true full vacation opportunities.
Yeah, and there are now, the number is at least a dozen and growing of countries that are now saying if you can show your CDC card showing proof of vaccination, that will be good enough to admit you to a foreign country. And Ann and I are actually taking advantage of that, Ryan. In mid-May, we're going to the Central American country of Belize. I will be checking in from there. When you host, you'll be seated here in the studio doing an hour on travel for our listeners. That's going to be on the 19th, Wednesday of May. That's going to be fun.
That is going to be fun. And I will say Belize is an underrated Central American Caribbean destination. It's a very popular port destination for a lot of cruises, but a lot of people don't take the opportunity that you and Ann are going to do and use it for a land trip. So that is one of a number. And I think you used the right word, Bill, a growing list of countries that are recognizing proof of qualified vaccinations will be the key to entry into many, if not all, the global destinations that you'll want to travel to. So not trying to make a political statement about should you get vaccinated or not. There's many reasons for maybe why people don't, but it will be, for at least in the short term, if you want a vacation, especially internationally, that proof of vaccination will be key. But it, doesn't that give you a better peace of mind that that's the traveling cohort of people that will be with you on flights, et cetera, will be of the vaccinated variety, I think definitely helps you. And if you're thinking about that, we've got proprietary software, Bill, that gives us up-to-the-minute updates in regards to what are those requirements, what are the changes. So if you want to go, I had a client email me the other night, hey, we're thinking about going to Croatia in June. Can we? And within 5 minutes, we were able to pull up, here's how you do it. Here's what you have to have in place. That's why you would come to an expert to help you even now more than ever navigate all of these moving parts that are very difficult to understand, to find out what is the true and verified information. So the world is starting to open up, and I know many of our listeners feel like you and I do, it's time to travel.
Yeah, and I was just going through that long list of the virtual the presentations on your website, and they are all posted at bvtravel.com. River cruising and even cruising on the Mississippi here and domestically have become very popular.
And you're right. That's one exciting piece of the growth of the industry when it gets back going, is that the Mississippi River is going to expand dramatically. One of the names in river cruising that's probably synonymous with river cruising is Viking River Cruises. They dominate the European market. About 50% of all the river boats on the water in Europe are a Viking River cruise ship. They're coming to North America in the next year and a half. So get that booked now and start looking at that. If you're thinking, maybe I don't want to go international, that's something that's closer to home. And as you mentioned, those presentations are very enlightening. I would encourage maybe a listener that doesn't know of Bon Voyage Travel, thinks that they can handle the bookings themselves. I did a full 30-minute presentation, and I think it would be worth the time of our listeners. Look it up. It's called DIY Vacation Planning versus the Experts. And I break it down side by side. I say, here's a trip. If you did it on your own, you went to this website, you know, American Airlines website, Expedia, used Uber for your ground transportation, and compared that directly to what Bon Voyage could do for you. Here's how much money you save. Here's the room upgrade you missed out on. Here's the free breakfast that you missed. And I do it side by side for about five or six different destinations. That would illuminate, I think, a little bit of the general public to how travel advisors are still in business and why we're still somebody that you should make your call to.
Yeah, and I had felt all along, even when this all of this bad news broke last spring, that the airline recovery, Ryan Hansen, would be dramatic, and it would be much faster than a lot of the experts said, oh, it's going to be take a couple of years. Well, American Airlines, Ryan, as you know, just announced they are going to be up to 90% of the pre-pandemic schedule this summer.
And they're not alone when you think of not only other airlines, but hoteliers. And again, when cruising starts to go back, I believe that capacities will be reached soon. That's great for the economy. Again, there was nice times. I only flew once really during the pandemic back in June, and the plane was empty. And don't we love empty planes for space purposes? Yes, I loved it. But you and I think bigger than that. We think
yes,
more along the lines of the economy and getting things back going for the greater good of society. Travel is a key component to that. The tourism dollars globally that impact jobs and people. One in every 10 jobs in the world is a travel and tourism job. That's pretty significant when you think about the reach and the impact that COVID has had. It goes beyond just us, Bon Voyage in Tucson, right? These are people in heavy tourist destinations that have been without income for a long time. And not to say that that's why you travel, is to get money in their pockets, but it is a global impact that's up there with pretty much any other industry that is a global commerce type of a field.
All right. Again, I recommend folks take a look at bvtravel.com. Boy, you've got a wealth of information from all of that, all the virtual presentations at last week's travel show. I will talk with you on Wednesday, the 19th of May. I'll be reporting in from Belize. You'll be here in the KVOI studios. Until then, stay safe. Thanks very much, Ryan.
Bill, thanks. I'm looking forward to having you on as a guest. I love being the host, and we can turn the tables on you and Ann a little bit, but I will tease the listeners. I will have someone on from the American Society of Travel Advisors. It's a lobbying group for our industry. They will be that day rushing Capitol Hill on what's called the Travel and Tourism Legislative Day to address legislative opportunities for travel. So we will have someone on site storming the hill to get their feedback about what they're doing in the legal side of things and at Capitol Hill's level to try to open up travel. So I think that might be something unique that we can bring to the listening audience in a month.
Looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Ryan.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
All right. Buckmaster continues. State Representative Randy Fries, congressional candidate now, is awaiting our live line. After we take the break, we'll talk to Randy Fries, Dr. Fries, in a couple of moments.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Are you happy with the news you get? Well, not all news is good news. You know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Silver City and Grant County once again welcoming guests back to that beautiful area of New Mexico. For things to do and places to stay, please visit southwestnewmexico.org. It's cooler over there, delightfully so, with temperatures usually around 70 degrees because of that mile-high elevation. And the Gila National Wilderness starting to really green up and look great for some hiking. It's only about a three-hour drive over to Silver City, where it is right now 67 degrees. You can't beat that. State Representative Randy Freese, Dr. Freese of Tucson, along with fellow Democrat, also from Tucson, state lawmaker Kirsten Engel, are the first two to jump into what is expected to be a crowded race to represent District 2, Congressional District 2. Ann Kirkpatrick is retiring, so that seat is going to become wide open. Dr. Freese is a trauma surgeon who has served in the House in Arizona since 2015. He has a very extensive background, including a U.S. Navy Medical Corps veteran, a retired University of Arizona College of Medicine professor, and of course, he treated then U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords after she was critically wounded in the tragic January 8th, 2011 Tucson shooting tragedy. Dr. Freese, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. Why did you decide to take this step to run for Congress?
Well, Bill, you know, there's a lot of things going on nationally that I think I can bring a unique viewpoint to. The pandemic. We're still struggling with making sure that we're doing everything we can to keep this pandemic from worsening again, right? We need to make sure we're listening to science, listening to the experts, and taking their advice. We've been so grateful to have the ingenuity and the abilities of American scientists to get the vaccines together so quickly and have the FDA get them approved on an emergency basis. And I'm hopeful to see lots of benefits from those. And then, of course, the epidemic of gun violence keeps raising its head here in this country. Congress has not moved the needle on this issue, even though the majority of Americans want their policymakers to address this problem. And to address this problem means we must begin to have discussions, build trust with each other, understand, you know, our goals, and begin to move forward with some solutions. This is a multifaceted, complex problem, and it requires a multifaceted solution. I think I can bring a unique viewpoint on those issues.
The COVID-19, the vaccine hesitancy is going to be an issue, and it couldn't have been a worse time for the pause in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Do you think that will hurt us as we try to get as many people vaccinated as possible?
You know, there might be some sort of blip in hesitance, but really this is science, Bill. This is what happens. All of these vaccines were given emergency approval, and we are following the CDC, the federal government is following and very, very meticulously looking for any safety issues. And this is a blood clot, you know, problem that happened in women. I can't remember how many in millions of vaccinations. This is exactly the process that's working as it should. And this getting put on hold to get further study is exactly appropriate. So I hope people take comfort in the fact that this is science working the way it should.
The boundaries of the second congressional district likely will change due to redistricting ahead of the 2022 election. Do you have any feel for when that will be announced?
Well, I think the IRC, the Independent Redistricting Commission, you know, they've been formed, properly formed. They've chosen their chair. They've hired their executive director, chief of staff, whatever term they use. Now, I think they're looking at the mapping software, you know, companies and choosing which mapping software. So really the work begins after that. But, you know, the goal is competitive districts. I absolutely support competitive districts. We are tucked here in the southeast corner of the state. So that might protect this district from a whole lot of geographical changes. But, you know, they're supposed to wipe the slate clean and start fresh. So, you know, you just don't know.
It costs a lot of money to run for Congress, as everybody knows. Are you off to a pretty good start? What's been the reaction among local residents of CD2 to your candidacy?
Oh, I've had some great enthusiasm. I was very pleased and grateful and honored to receive the endorsement of many of the survivors of the shooting 10 years ago. Grateful to receive the endorsement of some of my colleagues currently in the legislature and colleagues that were our ex-legislators. The phone calls I'm making, great enthusiasm from colleagues at the College of Medicine, from constituents in LD9 and throughout CD2. Been just grateful for the and appreciative of the support and enthusiasm.
Are you concerned not only what's going on in Arizona with what is called election reform, but across the country, Dr. Fries?
Yeah, boy, a lot of those reforms are really just veiled attempts at suppression. There are several bills, voter suppression. There are several bills that are still alive in the legislature right now that do things like remove people from the PEBL if they don't vote in two election cycles in a row, automatically remove them, or actually they send a letter is being sent out and you must respond to the letter to not be removed, changing the initiative process, things like that. The only bill that has made it to the governor's desk and he actually signed was now a law that says private money can't be used in public election process, which is a little peculiar because there are grants that are available to states to help educate voters that could be considered private money. And in fact, Secretary of State Hobbs' response to when Ducey signed that law was, "Hey, just a little bit ago, you helped me apply for some of this money," and it was a little confusing to see that bill make it through his office.
The budget still needs to be addressed in this session. Do you see this session dragging out over a couple more months?
You know, Bill, that's a great question. There's a lot more money in the state coffers this year because of the federal COVID aid that is come to the state with the American Rescue Plan. There's another, I think, $28 billion of federal money coming to Arizona. A lot of that going to schools and things directly. There in the American Rescue Plan, there's also another aliquot of money for state and local governments. So it appears to me that when there's more money to be budgeted, then it takes more time, a lot more asks. So I wouldn't be surprised if we aren't going through this process in the next 4 to 6 weeks. Also, there's a debate, unfortunately, at the legislature amongst the majority party about a big tax cut, ongoing revenue losses of about several hundred million to $1 billion is what I'm hearing.
Have you set up your website yet, and would you like to direct people to it for the congressional run?
Yes, thank you, Bill. My website is Dr. Fries for Arizona. That's DrFriesefor. Arizona spelled out .com.
And I assume you're going to be doing a lot of campaigning throughout the district, trying to juggle the legislative session and the upcoming run for Congress.
Yes. I mean, campaigning is a big part of a run, right? Meeting people, making sure people, my job as a candidate is to make sure people know who I am and what I stand for, and then they can make the decision if their values and mine are aligned. That's what campaigning is about. As you mentioned, we're in the part of the session now where we're slowing down quite a bit. In fact, we adjourned yesterday for a long weekend. We didn't work today. And I think what's going to happen is that as the budget is sorting out, we'll have a lot less legislative responsibilities until the budget is ready to move. And then suddenly things will get busy again for about a week or two. And then we'll be able to finally sign it and shut it down for the session.
All right. State Representative Randy Fries, Democrat running in CD2 for Congress. Thank you very much, Dr. Fries.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, this Thursday edition. Tim Tomuer will be with us tomorrow from Tucson Water. Very appropriate time. With all this controversy going on between the city and the county over water. Thanks, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Dave Ramsey is next. Have a great afternoon.